Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by a special co-host today. Cody got called away for a very important family thing. Everything's fine, but he had to go help his mother-in-law with something urgent. Actually, her tire blew out, so he had to go help her. So stepping in for Cody is Bo Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Friend. Hey, Pat.
We love having you here, Bo. You're his neighbor, so yeah. You're jumping in for him. We appreciate it. And this is a topic you're going to love. You already love.
Yeah. I do love this topic, yes.
Yeah. And Tracy, you're back, as always. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. And Matt's on the keyboards. Hey, Matt, thanks for doing this. How are you doing today, Matt? Matt's eating something and he's happy. Okay, good. So what's our topic today, Bo?
Today we're talking about vocation over vacation.
Yeah, what does that mean? This word vocation is what this is about. And it comes from Latin, it stands for the word calling. When you have a vocation, you have a calling. And if you're familiar with in the Christian world, a vocation is often seen as being a priest or a nun. And people say, you know, we need vocations, and that's what they mean. And then we carry that further. We could say, well, my vocation is to be a good husband for my wife, or to be a parent to my kids. So we can see that's a calling too. But the thing is, all work has the potential to be a vocation. And a vocation is always about others. And when our work is a vocation, that's when we find joy and we avoid burnout. Now, this is different than working genius. Now, within the vocation that we have, we should use our working genius. But what we're now talking about is not like what we do, like the actual activity, but why we do it. Do we see our work as a calling? And we say it's a vocation take a vocation over vacation, because when we see our work as a vocation, we get more joy from it. When we see our work not as a vocation, we are constantly looking forward to our next vacation. Mm-hmm. Because it's just drudgery. So that's the title, and that's what we're going to talk about today. What do you think, Bo?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people I see in my season of life who have gotten to a place in their job that they like. They maybe got a title that they were looking forward to sometime. They've got a mortgage. They've got, you know, maybe even some degree of success. And they're looking around and going, is this it? And some of that, I think, is that their life is pretty segmented. Maybe they volunteer on the weekends, or they plan and look forward to going and doing some important memory with their family, but they still get the Sunday blues. They still have the idea of going to work, because work is a chore to earn money for the things that really matter. And they don't see work as part of what they exist on the earth to do, to be able to contribute at work. Work isn't just a means to earn money so you can contribute and get a good title so you have more flexibility to have more time off. It actually is a part of what we do to contribute to the world around us.
Yeah, you know, when you have a vocation, you go from one vocation to the next, and each of them is great. I mean, I love being at home with my family, but when I come to work, I go, oh, I have to say goodbye to my family and join another vocation, which is with my teammates doing something that matters. And so when you go from vocation to vocation, and we all need an occasional vacation, but every day can be an opportunity. Now, here's the thing, though. There are some jobs, Bo, Tracy, Matt, that we see as vocations very easily, like a doctor or a teacher or a firefighter, a nurse, and obviously like a minister, a priest. And there are other jobs that it's harder, but there are people that are in vocational jobs that actually lose their sense of vocation, and it becomes transactional or just economic. And yet there are other people who have jobs that you don't even see it as being easily connected to any vocation, and they see their job as a calling to serve and help others. So it's not just the field you're in. It's actually your mindset and how you go about your job. And that's what we have to do. We have to discover a vocation in the work we're doing. And if we cannot find any vocational element to the work we do, that's probably a time to be looking for something else. But most people, the vast majority of people listening to this, either already understand that their work is a vocation, or with some thought can figure that out, and it'll change everything.
You know, I wonder if you're in a season when you would feel sort of stuck of like, oh, my work doesn't feel called or connected to a purpose or to serving somebody. I wonder if you think about the reason you signed up for that job in the first place. Like, what would your 12-year-old or 18-year-old self say about the role that you have? If you're a firefighter, it's probably not about climbing the firefighter corporate ladder. It was about wanting to provide safety for people. Or even if you're coding, you're creating software for people, you probably like things that work and are efficient, maybe even beautiful. Like, there's something that, even if you're not directly serving a person, that is contributing to a better world, and you can show up seeing, oh, I'm adding value to people in what I'm creating, and I can go about my work in such a way that reflects that there's dignity in each person.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. That's where we have to be creative and say, what is it within this thing that I'm doing that is actually a possibility there? And we did a podcast called, you know, who do you work for? Like, about that, like, what is your purpose? Matt will remind me what the title was. But the thing is, every job has that potential. I flew back east this week. We took my son to college. Casey's going to Auburn, War Eagle. I had to say that. But when you go to Auburn, you got to say that. But the flight attendant on the way back, I was actually seated next to a flight attendant. I didn't know that's what she did. We were talking and she goes, yeah, I fly for a different airline and I went on vacation. And so I had a great talk with a flight attendant who was not on duty about her job. And one of the things is, it's great when your manager sees your job as a vocation. You know, that's even better, but we can't wait for that. Every one of us has to find that. And she worked for an airline and they didn't manage her particularly well. But she talked about the fact that she has to see in her job a sense that she's doing something that matters. And like she and I talked about these people on a flight, like I like to say, Adolf Hitler was probably born in an airport and raised there, because it is not a very pleasant place. And so if you're a flight attendant, you could say, okay, I get good benefits. I don't have to fly very often and I have a lot of time off. Or you can go, I'm going to make these people think about this experience differently. I'm going to make this a great day for them. I want them to go home and say, man, that lady, in this case, a lady, treated me so well that I have a different outlook on life. That's a vocation and a calling. She could do that job without a vocational connection, or she could do it with it. And it makes all the difference for her and the people around her.
Yeah, so the big meta question is something like, who would I want to serve? And that might sound a little intimidating. I wonder if the even simpler question is, who would I want to say thank you? Because her showing up and doing her work really, really well might result in people on an airplane just saying, man, thank you. That made and they might not ever say thank you, but clarifying that question of who would I want to say thank you might give a clue of the people that you want to serve and how you tie your work back to this idea of a bigger purpose of vocation.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think about it. At the end of the day, I say prayers. I'm a follower of Jesus. And if God said, so I gave you a lot of blessings today. It was a beautiful day. I gave you challenges. But what did you do with everything I gave you? Who benefited and what should I say to you at the end of this day? Good and faithful servant, you did a great job, or you got a paycheck, you did stuff, you entertained yourself. And it's weird, like, if I think about that every day when I go to work, that's not a burden. That's actually an opportunity for me to say, there's something more important here than I'm seeing right now.
Well, Tracy's nodding. Tracy, jump in at any time. I hate that I'm interrupting you if I am. Well, what that speaks to me, Pat, is the importance of continuing to perfect and refine our craft. That whatever we're doing, by doing it really well, is tying our work back to the idea that we're doing it for something bigger. So again, if you're a landscaper, like learning how to do landscaping better and learning about plants and learning how to design things that are beautiful and are efficient is part of a vocation, right? It's not just about, it's important the way you treat people, and it's important that somebody say thank you, but you actually contribute to the world by getting better and better at what you do.
Right. Tracy, you're ready to say.
Yeah, I think this all, it's very inspirational. I love it.
But
what I feel like we get in the way of this as workers, as employees, because we're too busy or too pushed. How can I change that? inspire me? How do I get inspired around doing this for myself? Because I would imagine a lot of the listeners out there are like, oh yeah, that this sounds great and all, but I don't have time for this.
Well, this is the irony of all this. It can't be for yourself. It has to be for others. Mm-hmm. And that is ultimately going to serve you as well. Another, because I was thinking, Bo, when you were talking about like you, refine your craft, if I'm writing a book, I could be inspired to make it better by saying, I want to get better reviews and I want people to think more highly of me. Mm-hmm. And that's not vocational. But if I could say, man, somebody's going to read this book. I mean, the Five Dysfunctions came out 20 years ago. And to this day, I'll get somebody who'll say, this changed my career. And I think I could never have known that when I was writing it. But if I have that person in mind, then I will try to make it better. Not because I want something for myself, but I want to serve others. And that gets me out of bed in the morning. Because I know when I'm thinking about myself, when I want attention or I want recognition, that doesn't get me out of bed very well. But when I know there's other people that can benefit from things. So I guess what I would say, Tracy, is people should ask themselves, how is my work going to contribute to someone else's well-being? And it might not be today. And if you can remember that every morning, it's going to make you so excited to go to work so that when you're away from your kids or your spouse, you're doing that in service of something else. And at night, wouldn't it be great if at night your kids could say to you, hey, mom or dad, whose life did you make better today in some way?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I know. My kids do it every night.
My kids barely say hi to me when I get home.
Okay, so I'm curious. Maybe this is our wirings at play. Is Pat, you went for the optimistic, positive route, and I'm going to go for the opposite, the more like negative route. So here's what I think about this is movies that are boring. Pat, you love movies. You love film and dialogue, especially in movies.
Yep.
Often the problem has not been clear that the movie is out to solve. The tension, you know, kind of meanders and we're not sure what the problem is out there in the world. And I think for me, if we can get really clear on Monday morning, walk into my whiteboard and say, people have bad meetings. We should help them have better meetings. Or it's not okay that somebody walks into a hospital and isn't greeted well. Or it's too bad that I'm just thinking about like really like what is the philosophical problem out in the world that our jobs exist to help solve? Because a problem gets me up in the morning. It keeps me paying attention. It keeps me hungry to say, I've got to do something to help that get better. And I actually can do something to help make that better. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, it resonates completely. And it relates to something we were talking about in the office earlier this morning. I talked to a friend of mine. His name is Bobby Herrera. I tell you this because he wrote a book called The Gift of Struggle. And it's fantastic. The Gift of Struggle. If you find it, it's a wonderful book. Bobby's an amazing guy. But he was calling to tell me, we were chatting, we're friends, and he was telling me, oh, Pat, you got to hear these stories about what we're doing with Working Genius in our company. And he was telling me what his employees are telling him about how it's changing their work and their life and their teams. And we came to work and I said, you know, I would like to get more of those stories. And Matt, who is kind of the connector to a lot of emails we get, he said, you know, I don't send it to you a lot because I know you're busy and I don't want it to weigh you down. And frankly, I think you're going to come up with an idea that's going to create some crazy new work product. And I said, I really need it because it feeds me and it connects me to the vocational part of what we do. I didn't say it in those words, but I'm realizing it now. And that's why it's so great to have an image of the people you serve or the problem you're trying to solve in front of you every day. Because it keeps you connected to the vocation. And like if you're a surgeon and you're so busy that you never go talk to the family of the people you operated on, you're often going to lose sight of that. And if you're a teacher and you never spend time with the parents and the siblings and understanding how this child's life is changing because of the way you're treating them in class— yeah, it makes sense that you're just going to constantly be grading papers to get it done so you can do something else. So I think what you're saying is put in front of you something. It might be visual. It might be some reminder of not just the work you're doing, but the reason why it's making a difference. And that sounds, I know, ridiculous. People are like, oh, this is a no duh. But the question I have for people is, where is your visual image? My friend Will, who listens to this podcast, I like to talk about him. He's in charge of transportation for a county with different kinds of weather and in the mountains and all that. Does he know that the way he does that job is changing somebody else's life? And he needs some reminder of that. Mm. Come to work and be excited every day.
Okay, I have another connection I just made that I'd love for you all to respond to. When we think about people that intuitively we think their work has purpose, they have a vocation. And you mentioned, you know, people who might be in ministry, teachers, doctors, firefighters. Almost all of them do their work in a particular place. And I think there's something powerful about knowing I'm serving people here. I'm thinking about my neighbor. His name is Tyler. Tyler installs insulation in people's houses to help their homes be better insulated. And it helps him to know I serve families in Ogden, Utah to help them be able to keep warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Isn't that feel just a little bit more specific and powerful than I help families stay warm? Like a kindergarten teacher knows I'm helping the families in this neighborhood, in this particular area with their right. children. And that doesn't apply to everybody. Like some people I know have work that spans across the internet or across counties, but there's something that often is connected to where your feet are that is connected to purpose.
Yeah. So oftentimes it's localized and you need to have a local reminder of that. But I think if let's just say you were one of those people that you call on the phone when you need to change your airline tickets, or that's a pleasant experience. And there's some person, oftentimes a person sitting in India in a call center, you know, you can just imagine like, how do they find vocation in that? Man, well, you know what I would do? I think if I were that person, I would say, I'm going to help you with this thing. Would you do me a favor? Would you just send me an email and tell me where you're going? Or like make some sort of connection so that you can go, that person I'm talking to on the phone is going to have a better vacation because of me. You know, so I think we do need to take responsibility ourselves. Now, maybe that call center manager in India is not going to be able to get that. Hopefully they could. That's great when a manager says, I want you to understand why your job matters and why this is a vocation, a calling. But even if you're not going to get that, find a way to do it for yourself. We owe it to ourselves to make all of our work a vocation. And if there is no possible way to do that, if you've tried everything and you can see no reason why your job is a calling, then go ahead and start thinking about finding another job. And yes, in the meantime, treat that current job as a transaction. Now, here's a big problem we have in the world today, and that is, Matt was telling us about this before the podcast started. A lot of young people today are coming out of school and they're seeing work as a non-vocation. Really, like it almost seems like it's not intentional, but it's very clear. This is a transaction and an exchange. And work is more and more seen as not a vocation at all. Now, I will say 20, 30 years ago, work was often seen as too much of the identity of the people who did it. I remember my parents' age and it was like, my job is everything. And so the pendulum seems to have swung and there's a lot of young people that are being taught. And this relates kind of to our last podcast we did called Your Work Sponge, which is your first job tells you a lot about your future jobs. But if a lot of kids are coming out of school and they're finding it in their first job, nobody thinks of it as a vocation. And they're taught to maximize their income, minimize the output, and manage expectations. That's going to leave an entire generation of people not even understanding what vocation is. And I think that that's where maybe if you're a manager, you can realize that that's a real big social problem and that we need to connect everyone's job into some way of being a calling. Does that sound too idealistic? Maybe Matt's listening to this. Maybe he's going to be like, yeah, people my age are going to think you're an idiot.
It definitely sounds idealistic, but I wouldn't say it's a good message.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Maybe I'll ask Matt this. Do you think young people need a manager to help them realize that? Or do you think they could hear this and do it for themselves?
I think it depends for sure, but that makes it a whole lot easier if somebody's actually trying to communicate that to them. and if they're looking for it as well. If they're not looking for it, which I think a lot of people aren't, if they're not looking for it or trying to find it, it probably won't become clear anyway.
And maybe it's both. Maybe there is a responsibility for all of us to find the story that resonated with us about why we do what we do. And maybe we should intentionally circle up with our peers to ask one another that question. And for those of us who lead teams, help people name how their work is tied to a greater purpose.
That's great. I just wanted to build on that. I think that as a customer too, when I get service from somebody, I think I can remind them. I can say, hey, do you realize by doing a good job with this, how much better my day is? Like, like last night, my son and I went to a restaurant, and it was great because we got to sit and talk and watch some fantasy football stuff on the screen, and it was really fun. And the guy did a great job. He brought our food, but I didn't stop and say to him, hey, do you know, this was a really fun to be here, and you got us food, you got us stuff fast, and you made it really easy. And that makes a difference for me, and I appreciate that. Now, I did tip him really well, but I didn't really connect him to the potential of why that's a calling. Because being a waiter is a calling if you see it that way.
Hmm. That is an amazing perspective for me, too. Of every person that you encounter has the ability to make your life better or worse. And every person who makes it better, we ought to just say thank you.
Yeah. Right. That's the best, is when it's not even the manager, but it's if you're the receiver of someone else's calling, remind them that it is a calling.
All right. Yeah, I think one thing that might be helpful to clarify too is that I don't know if I've told you about this before, but the whole idea of like the midpoint of something.
Yeah,
I think this is idealistic, and especially for somebody my age, it's very idealistic. But I like to think about it like when somebody is on one end of a midpoint. If the midpoint is ideal, sometimes it's you have to sit on the other end of the midpoint just to get them to that place of understanding it. And so I think that's where we're sitting when we're kind of coming at this topic. We're so far on the other end of the line that we're just trying to get people to the midpoint.
It's okay for us to be that idealistic. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, okay, that might be way, way out there, but I can meet you in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we need to get. So yeah. So pulling it over to one side, it allows it to kind of settle where it needs to be. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're also communicating this.
That's great.
And nobody's batting 1,000. There's nobody, the most idealistic picture of somebody who's totally centered in a purposeful job is not batting 1,000. There's tasks that they do that they don't like. There's things that feel purposeless. So this is not a pass-fail grade. This is a how do we take what we do and internally tie it to something that matters? And if it isn't, consider doing something that does.
Yeah. And most people listening to this are probably all three things. They're employees, you know, at any level. Mm-hmm. They might be managers or influencers of others at work too, and they're customers or receivers of other people's vocation. Mm-hmm. So I suppose if we kind of applied it in all those parts of our lives, I think we would find joy. Hey, I love it when I can remind somebody of their vocation and how it affected me, and that you can see that it changed the way they looked at what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That in a crazy kind of way, it comes full circle. That's a vocation too. We're all meant to help other people discover their vocations.
Hmm.
And I think we can leave it at that and let people find that midpoint, which is great. All righty. Oh, you know something? I'm going to add one other thing. I think about Dave Ramsey, because we talk about this, like Dave Ramsey, we know him, he's a friend. He every day talks to people who are trying to get out of debt and manage their money. And he loves what he does. And the reason why is because for him, it is absolutely a vocation. It would be so easy for somebody to say to him, and he's in the financial realm, Dave, you've made so much money, you're totally comfortable. Why would you keep doing this? And nobody says that. Nobody questions another person, like, why do you keep doing it when it's a vocation? And I've been with Dave. I've seen him doing his show. And if you've ever been to his office in Nashville, outside of Nashville, people drive across the country to stand there in front of him at his thing and tell their debt story and do what they call their debt scream. And they scream, we're out of debt. We're free from debt. And for him, every single day, he has a vocational job and he gets joy out of it and other people get joy out of it. And it's amazing to watch that happen. And it reminds me that all of us have that potential in their jobs. Because when you have a vocation, you never get tired of it. And there's these football coaches that we see in the world that they see what they do as much more than winning and losing. And they are joyful. And mm-hmm. even when their teams lose, they want to win. And I think of like a guy like Tony Dungy, who is a coach in the NFL. You know who he is, right, Bo?
Of course.
Tracy, did you know who he is?
No, I did not. I must admit.
Right. Your husband would.
Yes, he does.
Because he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, your husband's favorite team. Matt, of course, you know who Tony Dungy is. But the thing about him is he is so much more than a football coach. Lou Holtz is one of my favorite guys. So much more than a football coach. And they keep giving back to society and they speak and they're involved in things because they are totally all about teaching and developing other human beings. And there's some other coaches I'm not going to mention by name that are very, very successful in pro and college sports. But I've met one of them. They're not joyful. Life seems like a grind to them. And they're not really that connected to their players or the people in their organization. They win a lot, but they don't really see their job as a vocation. It's very clear. And as a result, there's not a lot of joy in them or the people they coach about them. And so even those kind of jobs, you people look at a job like a famous guy like Dave Ramsey or a football coach. If you're not seeing your job as a vocation, it's going to be a grind. And everybody wants to say, well, if I had a job like that, I'd be happy. And I can tell you that's not true. So for the sake of others, find a vocation in your job and you will benefit from it too. All righty. Bo, thanks for filling in for Cody.
Yeah.
Hey, Bo, you know something? You allowed Cody to help his mother-in-law, who was probably really stressed when her tire blew out. So even that was a vocation today. All righty.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Tracy.
All righty. Hey, and thanks to our listeners for being with us today. We hope that you found something good in this, and we will look forward to talking to you next time on At the Table. God bless.